Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Ten minutes ago, I saw you. I looked up when you came through the door. My head started reeling. You gave me the feeling the room had no ceiling or floor.
Right?
10 minutes ago, I met you, and we murmured.
Look at how tall he is.
Dude, it's crazy, man.
I wanted to ring out the bells and fling out my arms. And
I didn't know he could really sing this great.
I have found
wait for the high note.
She's an angel with the dust of the stars in her eyes. We are dancing.
Here we go.
We are flying, and she's taking me back to the skies.
But look at the sincerity in his eyes.
Over mountain and meadow and glen. And I like it so well that for all I can tell, I may never come down again.
And the joy.
I may never
that's
come
so awesome,
down
man.
To earth.
That's what I think I'll remember most about our pal Stewart is the joy in his eyes. That, you know, they always talk about somebody with a twinkle in their eyes. And man, that man had a twinkle.
Oh, dude. First of all, I haven't seen that in years, and I don't even know if I've seen that much of it.
Sure.
Like, I knew, you know, he was Prince Charming, and everybody talks about Prince Charming. Was Prince Charming.
Oh, man.
That was Prince Charming. Oh, man. It's just, obviously, a lot of you guys know that Stuart Damon passed, last week now, it'll be.
Yeah, back on the 29th.
You know, it's been tough for just the daytime community, obviously his family, and General Hospital. I mean, what an icon on General Hospital. And, you know, I've talked about it before in magazines and, you know, on Patreon and stuff. But the guy was just such an awesome human being. Not only was he great, obviously he could sing, he could act. He was a powerhouse on the show. He was our anchor. He was our rock as Alan Quartermain, and we could always count on him. But the guy was so generous in his real life, loving, compassionate, everything you want to be as a man. And he was just an incredible husband and father and a mentor to me and a lot of other people. You know, I talked to his son, Christopher, yesterday, and, you know, it was a nice conversation, and I caught him at a time where someone had sent him all the stuff that people wrote about his dad. You know, so it was a great moment, and you know, that's how you know you've affected people. Is I said it before on the ABC News. I said you could have a 1,000-hour segment for Stewart Damon because people would come out of the woodwork. And they have on social media posting about how great he was and what a just an awesome person in general. Yeah. And that's what I want his legacy to be. Obviously, he was the Quartermain legend, but he was an awesome man too. So he was a huge proponent of mine, man. I know I've told the story before briefly, but Christopher, that was the one thing he said to me yesterday. He goes, I want you to know that my dad, when you came on the show, he just really, really liked you and saw something in you. And he knew you had something. And I said, I appreciate that, because I know he went up upstairs to the producer's office on my behalf a few times to say, hey, give this kid a shot, whatever. And it's just to really know that's what he thought is incredible, you know? And obviously we actually have some quotes from people, you know, that on social media and all that stuff. And we'll read some of those, but did you ever get a chance to meet him?
Yeah, dude, when Lulu and I were kind of paired in that friend, you know, we weren't romantically paired, although Spinelli was pining after her, but she was living at the Quartermain house, I believe. And so that's like when I had scenes with the maid, you know, Bergen, Alice. And, you know, so I had scenes in the Quartermain den or Quartermain living room den. What do they call it? I forget. The place where you punched AJ, that room.
Quartermain den. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, in the you know, Alan and Monica and Jane Elliott. What's her name?
Tracy.
Yeah. All sitting there like barking at each other. And then I come in and then they make fun of me. But then remember, you know, we always talk about the Metro Court storyline as one that, you know, we appreciated and loved. But, you know, for me, because for 2 weeks, the whole cast was there. And we were all in the same room because we were being held hostage, or, you know, you and I were trying to save them. But like, so it was a really wonderful opportunity for me to get to know everybody and see how everybody interacts and see the senses of humor and see, you know, get to know everyone's personality in a really unique way, because everyone was spending long hours there. And so you see people's real personalities come out when they're tested. Right.
Sure.
And I was so enchanted with him because he was, you know, and then they had to have that, you know, Alan had a heart attack during it. Remember?
Yeah. Yes.
And so it was hard work for him. Like, it was challenging physically and mentally. Right. I mean, it was a challenging storyline. Yeah. I remember that. I remember that shot of him. It reminds me of God. Yeah. Well, because remember the Metro Court did end up exploding, didn't it?
Yeah, good question. I know
anyway,
there was an explosion.
But I remember the shot of, like, it reminds me of that shot of you walking away from fire.
Yeah.
And he's collapsing and behind him, something is happening. Like, I mean, like, yeah, a really difficult, like, it was shot nicely, but a heartbreaking scene. Right. Yeah, but I just remember, I'm so glad that I got to spend those 2 weeks with everybody, but especially getting to know and seeing how, you know, how he was with everybody. And then, you know, off and on because, you know, I think he came back in 2007 and, you know, throughout until I think 2013. So I didn't know him nearly as well as anybody else, but I knew of his past in the theater, and I so appreciate, you know, he came up through off Broadway and then did a bunch of, you know, original casts of shows that, you know, things that I studied all through college and sang songs from. And
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And so, you know, and being the, you know, obviously being the prince in what we just played, and that song 10 minutes ago is a song that everybody sings in musical theater school. And I sang it and I watched countless other people sing it. And, but nobody did it like him.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I could talk about the Quartermains and what a great way to come into General Hospital, which I've talked about, but it was as fun as it looked on TV. And much more, because it was a real big family, and we would joke around endlessly. But when it was time to work, it was time to work, and we got it done. And, you know, we just always knew Stuart was there for us no matter what. And that's, yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing. Like what you were saying about when people get tired and cranky, they become other people. This guy never broke character. Like in his real life, he had a lot of trials in his real life that I, you know, I'm not going to talk about, but he had a lot of trials, like a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And his were pretty extreme. And this guy never broke character, like never. And it was just, and I told that to Christopher, her son, I said, dude, what a gift to have a dad like that. Like, what a gift to have a dad like that. That is absolutely incredible. And he goes, I know, he was my best friend and my dad. And it was just, you know,
the first quote that caught me.
Yeah.
You know, and thanks to Michael Fairman who put these together.
Yeah.
Scott Clifton. Did you read his quote?
Yeah, go
ahead. In my early days at General Hospital, I had a scene with Stuart in which his character would learn that a beloved family member had died. He understood the gravity of the scene, how historic it would become. And yet, during the countdown to action, he still turned to me with a wry smile and whispered, "Watch and learn, kid." Then he winked. And within seconds, he was no longer Stuart, and he began to sob. That man was and is royalty. Rest in peace, Uncle Alan. Yeah.
Yeah, he would do that. He would do that a lot because he was a theater guy, right, at heart.
Right.
So he would joke around all the time, you know, and until and then like literally, see, I can't joke around up until the second.
Right.
Like I need to go, hey, can you guys shut up for a minute? I need to concentrate. But right. Stuart could joke around to the second, and him and Leslie would do it all the time. Like, you know, he would even go like this, watch and learn, Lester. You know, just like
that's amazing.
You know, just he was that guy, right?
And right
in a funny way. So it was just, but that's a great quote by Scott Clifton.
Well, and then Finola, like when his favorite things was to say stethoscope several times before a scene with as many syllable S's as humanly possible. So that means in the countdown to a scene, he'll be like, stethoscope, stethoscope, stethoscope. Like, you know, like sounding like Sylvester the cat.
He would do that. Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
So, you know, it's amazing with that kind of background when, you know, there's something about when you're on stage, right? And you're waiting in the wings to make your entrance. And it's like you cross the threshold from the wings to the stage.
Totally.
It's almost like that moment. It's like, okay. And I'm here, right?
Like, I know. Like totally.
But yeah. He could do that in the most
dramatic circumstances, which is crazy. So,
whatever his character had to be feeling, he could just flip it on like that. Incredible. Which is amazing. Cause we talk about the different styles of acting, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
we've talked about how what you're doing on the show can affect your personal life, depending on how much you bring yourself into it.
Oh dude.
Right.
Amazingly.
And,
yes.
Well, it tends to be that people that came from the older generations of actors were more that it's like, oh, I'm acting, I'm putting it on and then I take it off. And then somehow in the, you know, in the 80s and 70s, 80s and 90s, those people that came up in that time, because, you know, Stuart was more from the 60s. Mm-hmm. People tried to live it a little bit more
method.
And some styles changed, right? Like, mm-hmm,
of course,
acting back then was a little more presentational.
Yeah, and a little bit more about personality.
Sure.
Than you know, real moments or whatever. But
right.
Yes.
But what I loved about him is that he had that in his pocket. I mean, he was a ham. He could do it all. But there was such sincerity. And, you know, what we were watching that YouTube clip. You know, Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella is not a hard-hitting piece of art, right? It's fantasy. It's fluffy. It's old-fashioned in a way. And yet you could just see in his eyes, he's living in that moment. Yeah. And the way that he brought that to all his work.
Because I actually went back and looked at a lot of stuff that he and I did together.
Oh yeah.
And you see that. Well, you just see, he was a gentle giant. You see that in his eyes,
yes.
You know, right. There was a warmth. There was an invitation, like, hey, It's going to be okay. I'm here.
Right.
You know, and that's what was great. And then you can obviously turn it on because him and Leslie had a ton of fights. Alan and Monica would go at, it was like War of the Roses.
Yeah.
Well, like, and she, you know, she's this tiny little thing and he's this big oak tree and she would just freaking give it to him. And everybody was always afraid when Leslie had to slap people because she didn't know how to stunt slap. So she would just go for it and it would happen. So it was just, I mean, there's so much like just history. And
what would he do when that happened?
You know, he's a big guy. He could take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gerald Hopkins. So my buddy Gerald Hopkins, who played AJ originally, he originated the role of AJ, the older version.
Right.
And, he texted me. And I said, hey, man, you have something to say? I'm actually doing a podcast about Stewart right now.
Right.
And he was the guy when I screen tested, was supposed to screen test with Gerald Hopkins.
Right. I remember the story of height.
The height thing. So they were going so long, so late all the time. They just said, hey, next five, just come down here and stand next to Gerald. And that's when Mark said, hey, they want someone Gerald's height. Come in here, put paper towels in your boots. We got to get you down there. Right. So I'm like, okay. So I go down there and it was literally, we were supposed to have this 4 or 5 page scene that they were going to record and show to network and whatever. So it was just basically us standing shoulder to shoulder, face to face, back to back, back to the camera, smile. And that was it. So Gerald was he was the first AJ and he and I became pretty close because he was there for, I don't know, 3 years, I think, when I got there.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm very saddened today at the passing of my on-screen father, Stewart Damon. Stewart was one of the finest people I have ever worked with in entertainment. He was like a second father to me on the set. He took me under his wing and taught me how to be a Quartermain. He took great pride in the Quartermains being the best family on soap operas. The best actors tell the best stories, and he did. It was an absolute pleasure working with him, challenging each other in the father-son conflicts and playing the tender moments when we could find them. Even more cherished was the off-screen friendship I had with Stewart, the laughter and the witty conversations always. I will miss him. He was a real prince. Mm. Awesome. So it's like you get those things said about this guy, like everywhere. And it's amazing. Who else you got?
Well, there's, just hearing what he said about the best family in daytime, it got me thinking about, you know, relationships on soaps and the relationship that he had with Monica. And, you know, maybe you don't know either, but I'm sure everybody that's listening knows. Because one of the things that we talk about now is the longevity of couples, right? And, you know, one of the questions that I had brought to this episode from our listeners was, you know, when is there going to be a happy ending and a stay happy ending for any GH couple, right?
Right.
And so they had, I know she cheated on him with,
Rick Weber. Their freaking relationship was crazy.
But did they ever break up or did they just deal with these challenges? Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. I think there was times where they split up. They might have been living under the same roof, which made it even more interesting.
Right.
Right. But that dynamic was incredible because they did crazy stuff. I mean, I'm not Leslie or Monica's not my real mom.
Right.
I'm from an affair.
Right. Of course.
So it's like, you know, I mean, and, you know, for as long as soap opera couples will never stay happy.
They always have to have issues to overcome.
A long amount of time. Right. Of course.
You know, you had Luke and Laura that broke up all the time. Then you had, you know, Luke and Tracy when they so it's just an interesting thing because, and also, I mean, obviously it was a different style. The show was, you know, obviously
different time too.
You know, Maurice wasn't there yet. So it wasn't a mob storyline or at least not in that respect. Anyway, so that got me thinking about that specific thing, but,
what's Leslie say?
Right. Exactly. Without it. This is from Leslie. She shared this with Soap Hub. So thank you, Soap Hub. Without a doubt, it was the longest relationship that I'd ever had with anyone. We kept in touch after he left GH, seeing each other. Sadly, as for a lot of people, you know, the pandemic and the isolation didn't help because we couldn't visit him. Now, a few of us, Jackie Zeman, Kinshrawner, Wally Kurth, would meet him at a restaurant near the motion picture home where he was living, but we couldn't do that over the past year, and that was hard. I know Stuart. He was a very social person. He liked the camaraderie. I mean, everyone does, and being stimulated intellectually. Now, not being to have that was hard for him. And just this morning, I spoke with his son, Christopher, who was extremely close to Stuart, and his daughter, Jennifer, and his grandson, Alexander. They're all really sad. We're all sad. We learned from each other. We worked with each other, and we had fun with each other. What else can you ask for? Yeah.
Nothing, man. They had a great relationship. And when I talked to her about, she didn't really want to go on the news. So I said, hey, I'm going to go on. She goes, great. Go on. I said, is there anything you want me to say? And she said, Stuart Damon was always there for me.
I mean, that's,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it was fun going through. I mean, because I think they pulled from social media, they pulled from interviews. Sure. So, I love what Kimberly called him, her building.
I know, dude.
Mainly because he was so tall and she was so short, but also because he stood so strong and you could rely on him as the steadiest of scene partners. He handled the AIDS story with such grace when Alan told Robin she was HIV positive was one of her favorite scenes that she experienced as an actor. His true essence as a compassionate stand-up gentleman really came through in that story. And I wouldn't be describing the whole person if I didn't mention how damn funny he was as well.
Right.
My heart goes out to his family. Thank you, Stewie, for blessing us with your performances. Yeah.
And I want to make it look, it's always sad, but you got to celebrate a guy like this, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, well, so he wouldn't want everyone
to wallow.
He'd want everybody to do Sylvester the Cat at his, at his celebration service. Right.
So, yeah.
So one time Stuart was a big golfer, and, this is when I lived with Dirk Cheatwood, who played Max. And he wasn't Max yet. He was working on other stuff, doing a lot of commercials. And we went to play golf with Stuart. And I was a decent golfer. Dirk was a horrifying golfer. But he played hockey, so he thought he could be Happy Gilmore. So we went, and we started playing golf. And Dirk had a little bit of an anger issue. So if he would slice the ball or freaking shake the ball multiple times, he would start yelling like Happy Gilmore. And they wouldn't be nice words. They would be the wrong words.
Sure.
And so one time he did it, whatever it was, he just, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. He took his club and chucked it into the woods when we're playing golf with Stuart David.
Oh my word.
And I was riding with Stuart, and he looks at me and he's like, who is this clown? Like, who is this guy? What are you doing here with this guy? What's he doing? You know, it was just so funny. I remember.
How do you consort with these people?
Yeah. I was vividly remembering. He goes, what do you do? Well, who is this guy? This is no. And that was the end of that. We never golfed again with Stuart. it was just, you know, he was just an awesome dude, man. And I love to remember the good stories. And I told the bathrobe story, but I might as well tell it on here. He would always show up early. He would work out. He would study his lines, but I'd always see him in his bathrobe because we have a locker room. And I remember him walking always down the hallway in his bathrobe. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a bear in a bathrobe or if it's Elvis Presley, which one, not sure, but he's coming my way. And so now it's just funny because I get to work early. I work out and then I use the locker room and I'm the only one in a bathrobe now.
Yes. So
subconsciously, Stewie, thank you, buddy, for blazing the path on the right way to live,
the mantle
buddy.
There. Yeah. Whoa, I love
thank
that.
Thank you.
So
by my own light,
Tamara Braun.
Yes.
My heart is heavy. Stuart was such a kind man. He was genuine and warm. He was funny. He always had a smile and open arms. He gave the best hugs.
Oh, dude.
Called me Tubby. And I was always happy
that
when
was
I saw
so
him.
Funny.
Then I knew him as Alan Quarterman before I worked with him. Then I knew him as someone I was always happy to see because he made my day a bit brighter. I think he made everyone's day brighter. He was incredibly full of life, full of good life. We lost a beautiful human being. I was so lucky to know him. Yeah, no, he, the warmth to him, and like you wanted to just kind of like wrap your arms around him and lay and give him a hug where you lay your head on his chest, because he was that tall that you couldn't help but do that.
Yeah, and then just take a nap.
And take a nap.
Yeah. Just go to, hey, can I just sleep here for 15 minutes?
Right. Exactly.
Please. It was amazing. I know. He's so awesome, dude. So awesome. So going back to what you said about Leslie meeting Stewart, it was at the restaurant with Ken and Jackie and Wally. You know, she's like, hey, you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, I want to go. And of course, then COVID hit and, you know, here we are. But I thought it was so awesome that those four continued to go see him, because he did love people.
Yeah.
He loved his job. Like, he was so grateful to be at his job. So I thought, obviously they had a great relationship with him. So I just thought that, I thought that was amazing. What did Jackie Z say?
God bless you, Stewart Damon. You are and always will be so very special to all of us who are lucky to work and play with you over the years. You'll be missed, but never forgotten. Your spirit will shine eternally in heaven.
Awesome.
So, yes,
I love it, man.
He will be missed and cherished forever. So,
Alan Quartermain.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Thank you. Thank you, Stuart.
Stuart, you're awesome. I love you, buddy.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Okay, yo, we're back.
We have a, and we mentioned this last week.
Are we doing what?
We have a special recap that we have to put through our recap relay machine.
Okay. Well, I don't know if it's going to be a machine today, but let's try it.
Okay. So, if you've never heard us do a recap relay, what we do is we go through the online recaps, look for a title or like just a statement that is made. And since we don't regularly watch the show, we don't know what that statement necessarily means. So we create a fake backstory for it through a little improv exercise. And we hopefully, within a reasonable amount of time, work our way to explain how this statement happens in the recap.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard it or seen it before, because the guy who helps us, you know, a part time on throwing some of these YouTube videos up, he goes, what? I haven't seen a recap relay lately. He goes, that's the best. So,
oh, amazing.
If you haven't seen it, go check it out on our YouTube channel. But
did he create a little list of them?
Let's hope. I don't know if he did, but yeah, I think you could just do recap relay.
All right. So I read this in the recaps last week, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was like, this can't be real. It is Ava and Nicholas listen to an ominous talking bear. I can't fathom how it happened. So Steve, it is up to you and I to explain how it came to be in this edition of Recap Relay.
All right.
We will do alternating sentences. Would you like to start? Would you like me to start?
You start.
Nicholas was hungry.
Ava wasn't.
So they were at a bit of an impasse. So they played a very, very intense game of Rochambeau.
And Ava won that game of Rochambeau. And she knew that she got to pick what they were doing before they went up to the woods.
Nicholas is not terribly fond of the woods. He prefers islands. So he needed to outfit himself in some new clothes.
So Ava and Nicholas pack up their limousine to set sail for the mountains.
For the mountains. Ava was looking for something just in intensely fresh. She wanted fresh food. She wanted to pick it from nature herself.
Before she left for the trip, she was, you know, just kind of wandering around and found some cannabis plants.
Nicholas was like, sweet bud. And he said, I'll bring the rolling papers. You bring the lighter.
She said, no, I don't smoke, but I'll make us some pot brownies.
Great. Nicholas was elated because his lungs are a little sensitive anyway. So he got out a 8x8 pan and started accruing the ingredients.
The brownies were finished and it was time to hit the road.
After the first bite, Nicholas said, I don't feel anything. So he's like, I'm going to eat this whole thing. And it was delicious.
And it was so delicious. As they arrived to their nice cabin in the woods, Nicholas was not himself.
Mm. But he had also driven. So it turns out it wasn't their cabin at all.
But it was empty. And Ava said, I'll just break in and we're staying here for the weekend.
It's interesting. There was three different kinds of beds, a little bed, a medium sized bed, and a large bed.
So Nicholas said, wow, there's three beds here. Maybe we can push two together and sleep together. And Ava said, no, you take the small bed.
Because the problem was you put a small middle, they didn't fit together. And he said, these will fit. And she said, no, this one is too soft.
So Nicholas did not argue because he was very happy from the brownies. Sure. So he said, let me go get some firewood.
So he leaves the cabin skipping because he was in such a surprisingly happy mood. And he found this berry bush.
He said, I'm going to pick all of these berries and surprise Ava because she loves berries.
And all of a sudden, this grumble, he heard a grumble behind him. Something or someone was not happy that he was picking all the berries.
So he turns around and he can't really see, but he sees two eyes staring right at him.
He says, Ava, come here. I think I found Mike.
What? And Ava runs out. And what does she see?
She says, that's not Mike. And Nicholas says, well, who is it? The thing said, I'm a bear, you idiot. And you're eating my berries.
Oh, where's he from? Scotland?
Ava and Nicholas listen to an ominous talking bear.
Yeah. I don't know about that one, but listen, your bear accent was amazing. I'm sure that wasn't anywhere in California or New York.
Nope.
Nope. That was a European bear somewhere.
Yep.
That was amazing. All right. So recap relay.
Ava and Nicholas get high, go to the woods and steal all of a bear's berries. And,
that could have gone a few ways too. So.
Could have gone a few ways. So anyway, all right, we're going to finish today with some questions. I saw this one and I thought it would be appropriate. What is the recipe for the Quartermain holiday punch?
Oh, wow. I have no idea. That's a great question.
Now, did you ever have any of this holiday punch?
Sure. I tasted it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure
they put like some fruit juice in there, some ginger ale. Usually it's like ginger ale and fruit juice and ice.
Right.
You know, some type of fruit juice, probably like high C or something like that.
Hawaiian
punch with ginger ale. They always had ginger ale in it, which was great, by the way.
Well, a good punch always does.
Does it?
Like some sort of, like, I remember punch and it was like, you'd do like some sort of like, fruit juice with a high C or Hawaiian punch with ginger ale and like a scoop of sherbet.
Yeah. The best thing though, in the Quartermain Den always was the dish of candy. It was the caramel one, the Werther's. Werther's. Yes. There was Werther's in there all the time.
Whatever happened to candy dishes, man?
I don't know.
Yeah, I love my grandmother.
Called 7-Eleven now.
Yeah, right. But I remember my grandmother used to have this white ceramic dish with a top lid.
Grandmas were the best with candy dishes.
Hard candy and
the best.
Hard candy. I missed that. I missed that.
Dude, we have a See's Candy near us.
Oh yeah.
Like people were lined up out the door. I'm like, what are they doing? They're buying See's Candy. And everybody in line was 55 and over.
Yeah, it's a candy is like I feel like it's an old like the appreciation of candy is it's different these days.
Yes.
But my wife's family is a huge See's family, like on every occasion.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. And also like the holiday stuff, like on St. Patrick's Day, you get the See's potatoes. And on Easter, you get the See's bunny. Mm. Like it's such a, they've been in Sacramento for generations. So their California customs included See's. And, but I wonder, did the Quartermain holiday punch, like, was there a, did one per, do you remember, did like, did Monica or Alan make it? Like, was it famous for anything or was it just a prop?
It was just a prop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just there. So it was always fun.
Who wore the black t-shirt first, Jason or Steve?
Well, I always had black t-shirts just because of auditions.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean? I just always had that in my, back in the day when you actually would go to the audition, you would have a wardrobe in your car.
Oh yeah.
And I always just had a black tee. Always had black and white t-shirts. Like that was it.
Right? Interesting.
And then Jason did have some black t-shirts and then some gray t-shirts. I remember a really bad brown one. And then again, I was just like, I was changing t-shirts too much. I'm like, just give me a black t-shirt. That's it. But now I love them. I found one that fits perfectly. I just ordered 3 more before tour. Mm. My wife's like, how many do you need? Because I order new ones before tour and I order a new bag of socks before tour. So I have 70 pair of socks and
just like athletic tube socks or what?
Yeah. I just like putting new socks on.
Oh, it's nothing better than a new pair of socks.
Nothing better than that. So, but I love black t-shirts and I wear them every single day of my life.
Yeah. I want to know what the product is, the shipments that come to the docks. That's a question that.
Oh, I can't say it yet.
I know what they are.
Well, I know some of them.
Could it shed some light on this?
I'll say this
famous question. What on earth do Sonny and Jason actually do?
What is some of the shipments have been guns?
Oh,
in prior years on General Hospital. I'll just say that
they have been
correct.
And they've been, those have been the property of Sonny and Jason.
Those have been, they've said it on the show and it was part of a story at one point.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
There's this question that I think answers itself. It's more of a statement, but I think in the statement, it explains why the story is going to be okay. It says it's a bad idea for Jason and Carly to get married since her husband isn't dead. And Jason has feelings for Britt, which will be sad that he has to break up with her. Yes, 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 and yes.
Yes. That checked all the yes boxes.
Right. That's why the story will hopefully create good drama because of all those reasons that you just said. So, maybe in that statement, you were anticipating that and you're jazzed for it. But the way I read it, you're like, no, this will be bad because of this. And I'm like, no, that, it'll be good because of that.
Yeah. And and what's great is we could kind of dive into this. We're doing our live podcast at Flappers in Burbank, July 31st. And Laura Wright is going to join us.
That's the big news, friends.
I think the timing's perfect, right?
Yes. So we're going on tour. We're hitting Oklahoma City, Kansas City, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Columbus, Grand Rapids, Chicago. That is July 11th through the 17th. And then July 30th. 30 days, September, April, June, and November. Saturday, July, did you say
31st?
31st. Saturday, July 31st, we will be at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, California. And our special guest, as Steve said, is the wonderful Laura Wright.
Yeah, so we'll do a podcast with her, and then Bradford and I will do a Q&A afterwards, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Awesome. So go to stonecoldandthejackal.com. To find info on all of our tour dates. In August, we're hitting the Northeast. In September, we're hitting Texas and Phoenix. And check out our dates. thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
This was such a wonderful time to to revisit thoughts and stories about Stuart. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll be talking to you next week. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!